help us to commence this evening with hymn 1114. Now, gracious Lord, thy arm reveal, and make thy glory known. Here, whilst we plead the Saviour's name, and venture near the throne. 1114. The Holy Word of God. Let us read Psalm 90. In the Book of Psalms, Psalm 90. Psalm 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the worlds,
even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down, and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let us pray. O thou most blessed, very merciful, and yet very holy God, an absolute monarch, the I am that I am, we seek thy face this evening, and we entreat thee for the promise of thy presence, where even 2 or 3 meet together around thy word. Oh, we do need thee to break to us the bread of life. Lord, the sand glass of our time is running through so quickly, and none of us know, Lord, how much sand we have in the top glass. But one thing is so very clear to us, the sands of our time are sinking. And oh, Lord, we do beg that with each one of us, it may be at the appointed hour, heaven's dawn may break. Oh, Lord, we do entreat thee that thou forgive our many, many, many sins and trespasses against thee. The psalmist confesses, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Oh, how we do feel our need of another divine touch, another token. And as those who feel so desperate about themselves among us, oh, wash me through all of mine iniquity, and said one, again, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. O thy servant also pray, cleanse thou thy servant also from secret faults. We also need to be kept from presumptuous sins, that we be guiltless of the great transgression, do make us sincere and real. That, Lord, the precious spring of life, the living waters, may spring up among us tonight and in our hearts. O Lord Jesus, we do need thee to so command the blessing from above. Want reality. Lord, we have to cry out so often, feeling parched within. Oh, how we do want, Lord, those waters to spring forth, those streams in the desert. Oh, how the prophet cried out, my leanness. And, Lord, we often know ourselves to be very, very lean. But we pray for that abundance of life to be found, seeking thy face. Oh, still praying those fragmented and pathetic prayers to thy blessed majesty. Oh, that we may be kept in need of thee and kept with that hunger and thirst. Lord, do keep us in the way of life, looking alone to thy majesty, dear blessed majesty. And now, Lord, we have turned into another year. And here we are. Already, Lord, more than 24 hours into the year. And what can we say to these things? The vital thing is, Lord, that thou wilt be with us. Go before us. We've been favoured to enter into the year. A solemn thought. We tremble. Our need increases. Our sinnership is so great. But, Lord, with thee is an ocean fullness. If there wasn't, we couldn't pray. We couldn't go to anyone. Therefore, we would know then despair. But there is hope in thee, for such a fullness of grace in thee, as we realize our frailty and mortality. And thou alone knowest whether we shall come through the year into another. And then ask those among us who may not. And that's a very solemn thing for one to pray as one leads others, a very solemn thing. We have a nature that it may be somebody else. We're often thinking in that direction. It's so natural to us. But the great and vital point is, for me, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Indeed, thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of thy grace, but that grace is promised. Therefore we come as beggars, needy sinners. We come in our rags and wounds, but may we believe in our heart that the Christ, the Son of the Highest, the Blessed One, therefore may we be graciously emboldened by the Blessed Spirit to fill our mouth with arguments, to wrestle on, because at the Christ we will not take no for an answer. For there's everything in thee for a sinner, Lord. Is not a rash presumption for a beggar to come and call upon such a precious name. The devil may suggest it is, but it is not, we believe, if there is that a due reverence, and if there is a dire need and a bleeding in the heart, only thou canst help me. Only thou canst forgive me. Only thou canst bless me. Lord, that's not presumptuous prayer, to argue reverently at the throne of grace in such a need, such a case. Now we do beg for the angel of thy presence this year, as we're spared to walk into it more and more. Or may we pass safely through. Oh Lord, please be our guide, our salvation, our daily keeper, our daily helper, our daily supplier, our daily saviour. Oh Lord, we do pray that as we consider the way with many solemn thoughts, many mountains, many crooked things with us, we've carried our trials and worries from one year into another, but we do pray, Lord, that we may see thee and know thee to be that performing God. Oh, to go before us, to open the two-leaved gates and to break the bands of brass in sunder. Oh, to make a way for us where there is no way. May we know thee as our way. May we know thee as our truth and our life. By those daily droppings down and distillings in the soul, and by, Lord, that ministering of salvation, everlasting salvation to us, hear our cries. O Lord, surround us with thy mercy as we come into another year. It was mercy last year. It really was. In fact, Lord, it's been mercy all our days. Oh, what a blessed God thou hast been. And though our cases are so bad, and though we are such sinners, yet, Lord, we have proved what a good and faithful and blessed God thou hast been. And therefore we pray there be that same God to us this year, as thou wast last year and has been all the years of our life. So guide us right in every step. Order our ways safely. Make our crooked things straight and our rough places plain. And be our everlasting light, Lord, as we journey on. Oh, Lord, who do say peace be still as we journey on again and again in the many difficulties and crises we meet with. Oh, thy kingdom come. We want thee more formed in our heart. Want thee, Lord, to truly guide us and order our way and uphold us with the right hand of thy righteousness. Oh, Lord, we ask, as the poet said, fix on us thy humble dwelling. Alpha and Omega be to us. Oh, may we be among those who walk humbly with our God, among those found seeking a better country that is in heavenly. Give us each grace to set our affections upon things above, not on things on the earth. Help friends in daily business of life and many family cares and concerns. Oh, Lord, we ask that each of us may be much helped, and though we have many pressing needs in providence and circumstances, but if to prove that they were ordained of thee to be among those all things that shall indeed work together for our good. O Lord, hear prayer. And we do pray, Lord, then that we might know thy blessing. All those blessings rich and rare. We're blessed every day in preservation and supplies and being kept alive. That's a blessing indeed, to be kept alive. But Lord, often we're dry and hungry and our soul are faint within us and wondering where the scene will end, but we do beg that there may be those days appointed for us even this year where thou'lt pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel to ravish us, ravish our hearts with one of thy looks, and grant us some kisses of thy mouth, Lord, to our poor souls this year, if it can please thee, in thy tender mercies and thy love to thy people. We be sweetly confirmed that after all, we are still thy bride, after our many adulteries and going after other lovers and other gods, the gods of this world, oh, the idols of our heart. Oh, we come as we are. Do grant then tonight there may be some word of grace to some poor sinner, the raising up of the downcast, confirming the feeble knees. Lord, there may be a loosening of some prisoners, and a sweet word of grace in assurance to those who fear thy name and tremble at thy word, or some commandment to go forward and to venture on, and another commandment to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with them. Oh, how we do need thy mighty hand and thy wonderful works, Lord, to be performed day by day. So help us now. And do then bless sinners, all among us in affliction's pathway, all in deep waters. All we pray for each. Troubles at home and troubles at work. And soul troubles. Fears and temptations. Weakness in the flesh. Such a daily sinnership. So prone to wander. The first says, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Oh, could there be some sealing of thy love to the heart? Some sweet confirming, Lord, engraved within. Some promise written. Hear prayer. Is anything too hard for thee? Art that kind physician? So bless us each, Lord, and all of us with our families, those with families and grandchildren, we bring them unto thee. We wonder where the scene will end in this apostate age and what they'll live to see, Lord. Do hear prayer concerning our nation. Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy that they should pray for those in authority. He lived under the Emperor Nero. And Lord, we live in evil days. Antichrist reigns in our land, but we are under divine instruction to pray for our rulers. Raise up some faithful men. Bind the floods of infidelity from sweeping everything away. And Lord, we do pray that prayer may be heard to frustrate the gross wickedness of our government and rulers, oh Lord, in the solemn determination to redefine marriage. How can God's ordinances be redefined by fallen men? Especially in the suiting of vile abominations to fill up their lusts and cup of iniquity. Hear our cries, Lord, to frustrate. Overturn, overturn, overturn. And Lord Jesus, so I will that the decree should be passed that not leaving this nation to itself, remember thy praying people. Remember our young. Oh, give them grace to endure. Oh, may they be thine. Oh, may they have the root of the matter. May the oil in their lamps. May they be given those shoes of iron and brass. And make them, Lord, truly thy witnesses. And take away from them the fear of man. And give them a single eye to thy glory as they grow up. Hear our cries in these things, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do thank thee for all thy mercies that surround us. We pray for another harvest. Send those suitable weathers in thy own wisdom for another harvest. There are certainly chastened nations and the sons of men with the variety of weathers, as thou didst in the days of the Scripture, even in Elijah's day. And yet there is work out all these things for thy afflicted and poor people. Those that are affected by the chastenings of God and the control of the weather. Do make all these things work for the good of thy people in this. And do grant that thou yet and remember thy faithfulness. Remember thy covenant, and we plead thy faithfulness in this. Dear Lord, may there be another harvest for man and beast, if it could please thee. We believe there will be in some measure, because thou canst not lie. And Lord, we believe that the seasons will go on till the end of time. We personally thank thee for so many mercies. Oh Lord, we often don't know which to do first, whether to solemnly weep and confess our sins, or whether firstly to return thanks. Oh, our cup runs over, dear, kind God, vile beast that we are. Oh, thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to iniquities. A dear, kind God thou hast been. Oh, we do abhor ourselves, what we are. Oh, our hardness of heart. Oh, Lord, we seem so insensible to thy tender mercies, Lord. Oh, we can only groan before thee, yet would bless thee. Bless thee and praise thee. Really, Lord, we want to live in that frame, like that woman at thy feet. Oh, she washed thy feet. Oh, she wiped thy feet. And the washing was with her tears. She hated herself. But she knew the first kindlings of love to God by thy love to her. That's what we want to know more of, Lord. And oh, that we could live there day by day, Lord. Well, grant a little touch of it tonight, we beg. And soften our hearts and do us good. So, Lord, we do pray for this people. Grant them thy spirit and thy blessing. Let thy work appear. We thank thee that one has been able to come forward and testify to thy tender mercies and goodness. Pray for her. Be very gracious to her as her lot in this world and her peculiar afflictions and fiery trials. And may she be made a praying mother in Israel. And so bless her and a dear one together. And bless all praying friends. And strengthen this people. May they strengthen the things that remain. This modern age seems so ready to die. And may each dear church member be able to hold fast that they have already till thou come. And add unto this people. May those who fear thy name and tremble at thy word be truly strengthened and be sweetly instructed by thee to so put on Christ. And to do these things in remembrance of thee who art worthy. Oh Lord, so worthy to be remembered. Remember then this people and the dear flock and friends at home, and grant us thy spirit and thy blessing there. So Lord, hear our cries now for thy help. Pulpit and pew, and command the blessing from above as we plead. Oh, the all-prevailing name, that our sins, which are so many, may be forgiven us, and thou art come and visit us and say, I am thy salvation. We plead thy precious name, pardon of our mighty sins. We plead For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 330. Your harp, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take, loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake. 330.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the book of the Proverbs, to chapter 4 and to verse 25. Proverbs 4 and to verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Proverbs 4, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. There is much instruction in this chapter, and I had a mind to read it. But bearing in mind we've entered another year and the time is running out very fast for us all, and dear young friends may think in their heart, well, hope I have many years. Lord, grant them to you. But one thing you will find, that your time is very, very short. And those length of days will quickly dissipate. And you will say in your heart, if you're spared to older days, where have they gone? And we ever come to this place in the exercise of our soul, again and again, do prepare me, gracious God. For none of us know when that appointed time will come. But surely, if we have any wisdom at all, we shall see and realize the day is approaching. Often quote from Bonard, that refrain, that, oh my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. O wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. So I had a mind really in the end to read Psalm 90. But also with the verse before us, verse 25, I did ponder whether to read in Hebrews, where we are directed to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. And my friends, wherever you may be, wherever I may be in our circumstances in this earthly scene, or the very state of our soul, and in the case of all true pilgrims, both circumstances are so perfectly interwoven with the exercise of our soul, for the church will live to prove that God will work all things, to the good of our souls, we read in Romans 8, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Therefore I did wonder whether to read in Hebrews, where we are instructed in chapter 4 and chapter 10, also 9. And of course the opening of chapter 12, seeing then that we are comfortable with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us pilgrims, let us travellers, Let us in this journey of life, travellers to eternity, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Oh, these Bible saints, you know, they were sinners, poor and sinners, well, like you and I. Oh, like Elijah, soft and running away. Like Jonah, soft and running away from the reality and the divine command, and getting into such a terrible place where Jonah got to. And all the besetments of the inward corruptions and the pride of our heart and unbelief, but I cannot tarry on these points. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Men are in a great hurry for the dying things of this world. And I do not stand here and cast stones, you know. I've got the same nature, and so have you. What a mercy if grace makes the difference with us. That though we be no different in nature, yet, we're running in that race to receive that blessed crown, to be with Christ, which is far better. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, you see, to run patiently, with patience, the race that is set before us. It is a race, but you know, my dear friends, often under trial, you can't see the end of the matters with you. And so often in your little life, so many things may look gloomy, dark, foreboding, forbidding. The way seems so hedged up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him. I wonder how many people here this evening, but I do hope the minister is included in this, who Jesus saw as the joy set before him. Ah, it comes down to this, doesn't it? Lord, it must be me. Ah, let it be me, Lord. For the joy that was set before him. Christ had a joy here to do his Father's will, that he may one day marry his whole bride in heaven. Oh, he's married to them now in his everlasting love. But oh, a blessed day is coming, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when they will sit down with him, hold communion with him, hold him in the galleries of their eyesight, and admire and sing of him, and praise him unitedly in that great congregation, and crown him Lord of all, and see God, and rest from their labours, and my dear friend, sing the new song, the untiring strength. Oh, the everlasting love, no diminishings, no waxings or wanings, ebbings or flowings, but Christ is all in all, with him and locked in forever. For the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, may we consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be faint or wearied in our minds. Well, we have a divine exhortation before us here tonight. And it is a divine exhortation. It's written to the Church of God. I know, in one sense, the Word of God is to everyone, because everyone is included in the Word of God. The wicked are reserved unto destruction in the Word of God. But you see, this Word is a dead Word until the blessed Spirit makes it alive in our soul. And we then begin to live by faith and die to every hope in self. And God unfolds that divine teaching, a humbling over the years, bringing to us to be, as the poet says, self-renouncing, grace-admiring, and brings you alone to plead with him and look to him, trust in him, wait upon him, say in vehemency of heart, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That grace enables you to persist
Though sometimes you're choking in your sins and sinking in unbelief, and the enemy's roaring down your neck, yea, threatening you with a total destruction, and conscience accuses you, and the law seems to condemn you, and the heavens are silent. Oh, you can't pray above your ceiling. And yet you see, my dear friends, that precious grace enables you to persist at the throne of grace. And every dear child of God will prove he is faithful. He is faithful. Have you been in places where you can say, well, the Lord has never ever heard me yet? You've been in heavy trials, and I say this very tremblingly because there's none weaker than myself. The Lord sometimes brings heavy trials to us. And we would naturally pray, remove this cross, remove this burden. But he's sometimes not pleased to do it. But what we prove is what the apostle proved. My grace is sufficient for thee. Where's that apostle now? Why, his blood-washed, redeemed spirit is worshipping God as he gazes upon the Lamb. True, his body is somewhere, I think, would be in Rome, wouldn't it? Or the mortal dust somewhere. But oh, it's awaiting a glorious resurrection. Oh, my friends, may we be helped here this night. May I be helped and you be helped, my dear friends, to follow this exhortation and to plead for the Holy Spirit's aid and help as we go into this new year. To look right on. Our eyelids straight before us. So you see, the wise man, Solomon here, much instruction, perhaps our friends may read it at home this evening or, if time will allow, tomorrow. Don't we live busy schedules, my friend? Doesn't the minister live a busy schedule too? Our modern age, do you know, we have to find time for everything, don't we? Even mothers with their families and all the school schedules and the business world and all the responsibilities of life. Oh, the Word of God. Well, may we be helped to read this chapter prayerfully at home. Much instruction in it. And this word particularly upon my mind for this evening as we come into another year. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. As helped, try and consider this really in the, firstly, the exercises, the necessities of the people of God. And secondly, not to separate this into particular points, I feel, want to bear the second mind, the second point all the way through. Where to? And who to? Where to? And who to? Well, he is not here. You know, he's gone into heaven, hasn't he? The angel is not here, he's risen. But then after his short tarrying, he ascended. And where to? The presence of God. The sinner's friend is in the presence of God. He whom they sought after here below and found, he's now gone into the presence of God. He's with God. And he's there as that risen, ascended and exalted Saviour. And he's God's great high priest in the court of heaven to hear your poor prayers, your fragmented prayers, your broken prayers. Oh, your weak prayers, your groans under temptation. And as you try to pray honestly and earnestly in your need, but have such a wandering mind at times, and you have to fall down and weep before him, think he can't hear you now. He's there. Why? Because he's that same God he was to the psalmist David. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. Yes, God's great high priest in heaven, and the great and heavenly potentate, who pleads the cause of his people, the captain of their salvation, and their king. There is a king in Jerusalem, you know. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Oh, there is a king in Zion. He's entered into heaven itself with his own blood, and he reigns. And he's reigning over your life. And can you trace out, what a mercy if you can, how wonderfully he's reigned over your life to this moment of time. Now, there was a day when you didn't need him to reign. Born in sin and shaven iniquity. Didn't need him to reign, did you? Now, what do you want him to do for you now? Oh, to be very gracious to you. To be very merciful to you. Oh, to pardon your mighty, innumerable sins. Oh, to wash you. Oh, to lead you forth by that right way. You might get safely at last to that city of habitation. And he led them forth by the right way. They might go to a city of habitation. To be with you every step of the journey. To save you day by day from all your sins. And to save you in this world of tribulation. To bet in all your fears. And to speak to your heart from time to time. And keep you in his fear all the day long. Oh, that he indeed may visit you with his salvation. It's all you need him to do for you. And watch over all the details of your life. To comfort you to know from time to time that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And indeed, you're among that people that are loved with an everlasting love. Well, he's gone into heaven to be that great and blessed and merciful King in Zion. And he doesn't bring the cream of humanity into his court. He needs no counselors or advisors. He doesn't need to surround himself with wise men. Why, my friends, as that ever-living, glorious, reigning monarch, he brings in the poor, the stinking, the wounded, the guilty, the hell-deserving, the trembling, the needy, into his court to bless them and feed them and with royal dainties and clothe them in a robe of righteousness. And he sends the blessed Holy Ghost while he sits and reigns there down to the earth to exercise his dear bride, to win him at last. Is that our exercise, that we might win Christ? Be found in him. He sends the Holy Spirit to awaken to us to our true state. To bring us into concern and exercise. Ah, thou bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And be with us all our journey through. Well, now I must look at this word. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Dear friends, in all our vast needs. While you are daily beset by the infirmities of your flesh, we have a nature that is enmity to God. It's still there, you know, in your heart. And that manifests itself in hardness of heart and roving affections and prayerlessness and a wandering mind and the love of other things. And if you don't know the plague of your heart, one day you will if you're made a child of grace, you know, saying at the tea table, as Solomon says in his prayer, you see, and every man shall know the plague of his own heart. Do you? Painful, isn't it? You don't want other men to know, do you? It's too bad, isn't it? But that great God knows it. But in spite of all this, He loves his people with an everlasting love. Well, let thine eyes look right on the honest road. Yes, with your fleshly besetments, the infirmities of our flesh, our sinfulness. Go back to Hebrews 12, where I quoted, let us lay aside every weight. You may say, well, that's easy to understand. Let's lay aside all the difficulties. That's not quite so easy. And the sin which does so easily beset. And can you do that? Friends, it's by faith. And I tell you, it's by faith. You really need the Lord to break the bands of iron in sunder, don't you? And to loose your bonds. We all have our own peculiar besetting sinnership, one way or another. And it's you and it's me. It's my nature, it's your nature. And who, my friends, can loose these bonds? But King Emmanuel, the King of grace, and by his love and mercy. He doesn't come, my dear friends, with an iron rod and whip you till you're bleeding to break the bands of iron in sunder. He does it by his great forgiveness. It softens your heart and you hate yourself. And if you really hate the world, you begin to love God. And it's the strengthening of your soul to take up your cross. It's by the sweet supplies of grace. By the showing himself the letter of the gospel, you're enabled to press forward and look to him, believing him to you, the blessed one. It's by those supplies of grace to your soul. You're enabled still to stand every storm. You're able to overcome by his blood. We read concerning the church in Revelation, they overcame the devil. That overcame him, that is the devil, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb. And you know, my dear friends, you may plead that precious blood for every blessing you need. Because always, even earthly blessings, providential blessings, healings from serious afflictions or the fiery trials at work or at home and these terrible family trials and oh, the conflicts of your soul. Yes, you may plead his victory over sin, death, hell and the devil. That he may bless you. That comes right down to your life's minutest circumstance, because if you're precious in his sight, he careth for you. So he says here, and I want to apply this firstly then to our fleshly nature, our weak nature, as dying people, as sinners by nature, under condemnation, under the curse of a broken law. We may let thine eyes look right on to Jesus on the mercy seat. Let thine eyes look right on in thy daily skirmishes and more than skirmishes sometimes, those deadly engagements, a life or death engagement with the powers of darkness within and without, to that precious blood which did once for sin atone. I think it's the refrain in 668, Gadsby's, where indeed he says there, I feel myself a rebel, base and vile. He didn't write this on a regeneracy, my friends. He wrote it as a gospel minister, poor man. I feel myself a rebel, base and vile. From head to feet, a mass of sin and guilt. Nor have I skill the malady to heal, but plead the blood that once for sin was spilt. A base, ungrateful monster I have been, and now, with shame my guilt and folly own, I cannot, dare not on my works, own works lean, but plead the blood that did for sin atone. You see, my dear friends, I believe it's a pleading that precious blood all your journey through. All your journey through. It's not a once forgiveness and a once blessing to know indeed that his blood has atoned for you. You feel your need of fresh supplies of the living waters to your soul to comfort you in your heart. There's no man that sinneth not, Solomon prayed. So may we look to him, God's Lamb. A few weeks ago, rather sweet to me, I must say, I can't deny it. Very sweet for a time. He started the night watches and followed me the following day in feeling so wretched in the sight of God. You know the plague, some of you, don't you? You can't describe anybody, can you? A wretched sinner, Lord. A wretched sinner, Lord. And oh, your heart sinks under a solemn sense of all that goes on in your heart and the conflicts, and it seems sometimes like you're losing ground. The psalmist said this, you see, his iniquity was too heavy for him and went over his head. He wasn't managing it very, he couldn't manage iniquity too, it was too strong, it weighed on him so much. It seemed rather sweet to me, I mustn't speak too personally, I know that, but you know, pleading the sacrifice of God's Lamb. It struck me so sweetly. I can't describe it. I opened up so sweetly that, you know, what can we do in our day? Bring a lamb. Yes. Not a lamb of our own choosing and own finding out in the fields. But plead. God's living lamb in heaven. You know, the living lamb in heaven, you know. You may plead him every day about your sins, your besetments, your hardness of heart. You may plead the love that's in that lamb and the promise of his grace through that shed blood to help you in your providence and circumstances. You may plead the name of that lamb, the Lamb of God. His name is Jesus. For your soul, save his people from their sins. That's why he's called Jesus. Oh, that mighty Saviour. Jesus, a Saviour. Christ, the anointed of the Father, the anointed of God. Yes, my friends, let thine eyes look right on to Jesus, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, who looks as a lamb that had been slain. He was dead, he's alive forevermore. He was slain from before the foundation of the world in the eternal thought of the Father, his beloved Son. Therefore he sent him in the fullness of time, and he shed his precious sin-atoning blood, and his blood has atoned for thousands upon thousands, yea, a multitude which no man can number, of all nations, kindreds, tribes and tongues, and these poor struggling pilgrims here, feeling very small and very weak, and yet knowing in whom they believe, may we plead him. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Plead his precious name and remember, bring him in your prayers. And remind him most reverently of his atoning sacrifice and what the Holy Ghost has testified of God's own Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I see the blood all pass over you. Ah, my friends, the life is in the blood. And he laid down his life. Yet it's very spilling. And the very death of the Lord Jesus is life to you. For he gained a blessed victory in that glorious day when he expired at Calvary. Oh, hell was confounded. Satan was brood, incurable brood. And devils were defeated. And a guilty, wretched herd of the human race, all in their corruptions and filth and pollution and blood, were redeemed in by his precious blood and redeemed to God in all the eternal thoughts of our Heavenly Father, in his love, all the mystery of his love to poor sinners as he gave a bride to Christ. And not a hoof of that people shall be left behind. They shall see his face. His name shall be in their foreheads. Let the night look right onto that blessed place. But I see time goes, I have to hasten. You know, this is an exhortation to look to the holiest of all, isn't it? The holiest of all. Now, how can you look unto the holiest of all? The holiest of all was set forth clearly in the inner court of the inner tabernacle where the ark was. And no one was allowed to go in there. It was a real trespass. And my dear friends, worthy of death. Who could go into the presence of God? For the ark of the covenant, the Lord was there, you see, dwelling between the cherubim on the mercy seat. Well, in the ceremony, a man had to be found. He had to be anointed and appointed by God to go in. He had to wash himself and change himself, his garments, and he had to anoint himself, and he had to shed blood. He had to go in by divine appointment only, once every year. And with that blood and sprinkled upon the mercy seat to make an atonement for the sins of the people. And it was sprinkled there. The promise was the sins of Israel were forgiven for that year. It was ceremonial, wasn't it? Typical. And therefore that place was called the holiest of all. And therefore even the high priest can only go in once every year. The ordinary people didn't actually see the mercy, did they? Had to believe the report. Better gospel, isn't it? Do you believe the report? About the throne of grace. You've not seen it with your natural eye, have you? Have you seen it by the eye of faith? The throne of grace. Where you may obtain grace. You poor, sinful worm of the earth. You may obtain grace. No more than a poor crawling reptile. An undone, helpless worm of the earth, a wretched sinner. And after all these years of profession, you come in with Gazi, what a base, ungrateful monster I've been. Wandering heart, Lord. Oh, you want another token. You're with the psalmist. Show me a token for good. Oh, show me thy salvation. Like with Moses, show me now thy way. Begging for his presence. Do you believe the report? Well, those Israelites, they couldn't go in and look at the ark. They'd have been consumed. Well, remember, my dear friend, a breach was made when that man, Uzzah, tried to steady the ark. Yes, he put his hand out to the ark. I agree that it was covered over with the coverings. But it was on an ox cart, which was not according to the divine pattern. And that David sinned. And there because of the roughness of the track, you see, the ox cart, as it were, bumped about and it needed steadying. Or so Uzzah thought, so he put his hand out and he was consumed. I'm holy. How can you draw near? Ah, they couldn't come in and gaze. And you've never seen that blessed throne of grace with your natural eye. But you believe the report by the Holy Spirit, sweet teaching your heart. And therefore you pour out your heart and tell the Lord your secret. You believe there is a blessed one called the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe he is a mighty Saviour. You don't need any man to tell you he's the eternal Son of God, do you? Because this has been the divine impression by the authority of the Holy Ghost in your own soul. You know he's Christ. As Peter knew he was Christ. Because flesh and blood hadn't revealed it to him. But his Father in heaven had revealed it, says the Lord Jesus. It's your Father in heaven that revealed his dear Son to you. By sending to you the Holy Spirit in the name of his dear Son. And that blessed Holy Ghost testified to your heart and conscience something of the worthiness and the merit, the infinite value and the blessedness. Yes, and the promises that spring forth from that great sacrifice have flowed into your heart. And things are written there. Hope is raised up in the infinite mercy of God. So you believe indeed there's a throne of grace. And you believe in that man, don't you? That blessed eternal Son of God, who is the Son of Man in heaven. Oh, that blessed one. As Luther said in writing to Heidelberg in the early days of the Reformation, the law says, do this and nothing is done, you're not released. Your best strivings don't release you, do they? Your best prayers can't seem to get the blessing, can they? But the gospel says, believe in this man. Find all things are done already. Well, in your seekings and prayers, the Lord is faithful, you know. It's not you that do it, but he stirs you up to need him and to be hungry and thirsty after him. So your eyes go heavenward to the Blessed One in whom you believe, and you find, oh, the waters begin to flow. The living waters. Oh, the river of water of life begins to flow down into your soul, and truth springs up in the earth, even in your soul. As we read in John 7, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He says, out of his belly shall flow living waters. And this he said, signifying the blessed work of the Spirit. Holy Spirit was not yet given. Shall I quote that correctly? I've missed a little portion out there. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me. Ah, do you believe that Jesus is upon that blessed throne? He that believeth on me, that is, he who comes to me, he whose eyes look right onto me, and me alone, who has a single eye to the glory of God in his salvation. Oh, I know you and I have sinful eyes, and this heart, our eyes wander everywhere, and you know what eyesight sees, the heart goes after it. Wicked, fallen men that we are. But have you and I a faith? Then all this, they're still looking to the mercy seat, confessing your sins as you look to the mercy seat, pleading his power, his resurrection power. So let thine eyes look right on. And you see, if your eyes are looking right on, this is the believing. Because in this, there's a coming. In Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly. That is, let us believe boldly. Let us go in our prayers boldly. Let us bring the word of God boldly. Let us plead the name of the Lord Jesus boldly. For the throne of God. Oh, let us fill our mouth with arguments. And not take no from Emmanuel, if you, because thou art the Christ. The Syrophoenician woman didn't sin, did she? By persisting. Oh, this officer, send her away. Jesus answered not a word. When he did, he said, well, I'm not sent unto the lost, I'm not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yes, and so she falls down as far as his discouragements and worships him. Notice the purity of the truth. She worshipped, that is, she reverenced him by falling down. Lord, help me. The worship in that Lord, I know who thou art. Lord, help me. I must be helped. Lord, undertake. I'm a poor sinner. I'm a Syrophoenician by nature. I'm an outsider to Israel. Help me. Because thou art the Christ. So he says, it's not meat, it's not good, proper, to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Truth, Lord, yes, yes. I quite own that truth, Lord. But the dog lick of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Lord, the gospel's for sin. Thou art the Christ. Oh, I believe thou art the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. O woman, great is thy faith. Let thine eyes look right on to him in whom you believe. Yes. So he says, you see, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And therefore, in all our vast need, as poor needy sinners, in all your trying scenes and circumstances, may we be helped to behold the throne of grace and believe thou art the Christ, Lord, I must persist. Casting all your care upon him. In the covenant, for he cared for you. He cared for that people that believe in him and look to him. They're his. My divine gift from his Father, given to him. And my dear friends, being Almighty God the Son and one with his Holy Father, he loved that bride as his Father loves the bride. And I may add, as the Holy Ghost loves the bride. If the Holy Ghost didn't love you, my friends, he would not bear your many ill manners and grievings of him. Ah, my dear friends, your many quenchings of him. Many times when you've been prompted to prayer and got busy in something else. Oh, the Holy Ghost loves the church. And he loves to take of the things of Jesus. Now in your need of his teaching for the Holy Ghost, let thine eyes look right on to ask in the name of Jesus. Now, upon the throne of grace is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is in the presence of God. And in looking to him, you cannot see your Father as a distinct person, separate from his beloved Son. But in looking to you do see your Father as you look expressly to the Lord Jesus. For he is in the Father and the Father in him. And I and my Father are one. Therefore he gave his Son in our nature. Eternally begotten of him to come in the fullness of time and live and die and rise and ascend into heaven for us. And your Heavenly Father set him down in his very presence at his right hand. So looking to him, you look upon God and you see your Father also. In his lovely, blessed, eternal Son. You do have a Father in heaven. And yes, has often heard your prayers. And those prayers are answered through the merits of his beloved Son, who is raised at his right hand, so that your prayers can and, from the scriptures I quote, will be heard. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God will deliver you, friend, because your heavenly Father raised up as your surety and sworn by himself. So the seeking soul must find, the confessing sinner must be forgiven, not on any ground that fallen humanity can do, but on the word of the truth, the word of God, which is no lie. For God has sworn by himself. Now let thine eyes look right onto that day's man and mediator. The subject's vast, isn't it? I'm scratching the surface. It's nearly 20 past, I'll have to finish. That dear friend of sinners, that friend, that blessed friend, let thine eyes look to him in all your matters. He's a far more blessed friend than our dear husbands and wives can be to us. Yes, they do all the loving, lovely ministerings as husband and wife with each other. We minister to each other and all that we can. Can't save each other's souls, can we? And can't prepare each other for a dying day. Can't prepare ourselves, can we? Yes, but there's one who can spare to your appointed time. Who can bring you safely through your days to that appointed hour. When Jesus will receive you. And that dear friend knows your fears and your quakings and your weakness in the flesh and your vast need. He sees in all the grief of your own guilt, your black record, all your rebellions. That precious Jesus has atoned for all these things. Yet, you say, well, who to? These comers, these poor comers. These weak comers, these guilty comers, comers to the mercy seat. Oh, his blood speaks for them. And what a friend he is. You're proven a friend in casting your care and committing your way and seeking, yes, all that's in him for sinners. What a friend he is. Oh, I wish I could enlarge upon that point. What a friend I mentioned, was it in December? The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Ah, what a friend he was to Peter that night. What a friend he was to Solomon. When you consider these Proverbs of Solomon, mentioning at the tea table concerning the prayer of Solomon. Beautiful prayer, wasn't it? Blessed prayer. Or wasn't Solomon a wise man? Blessed be God. And how he comes to the case of the people, the running issues, the sores, whatever wound, whatever sickness, whatever distress. If thy people Israel sin, there's no man that sinneth not. Directed where? To the throne of grace. Yes, the mercy seat in the temple, of course. Pointing out the throne of grace in New Testament times. And the poor man goes astray in later years. Godly man went so astray. And it was a solemn going astray too. I speak very carefully. We can't measure sin. It's all such an offence. In some respects, Solomon sinned more greatly than David, his father. We know what David did. We don't enlarge upon it. He did wickedly, poor man. But he never bowed down to other gods, you know. You mark that point. Guilty, guilty of infidel sins, uncleanness and murder, wicked man, to do such a thing. But though I say, use that strong expression in the pulpit, his sins were washed away. He's in heaven now. But Solomon brought in idols, a greater offence. You ponder the point I'm trying to stress here. You see, my dear friends, there's no other name. And he went after other names, you know. He went after other gods. And he brought in idols and offered incense and worshipped. Who'd have thought that Solomon, of all men, would do such a thing? Now, for that, the king was rent. God marked it. He turned to other gods and the kingdom was rent. He inquired after other gods. It's true he was restored. Blessed be God. The election has obtained it. Their sins are forgiven them. Blessed be God. But whereas David was personally chastened for his sin, Solomon caused Israel to sin. It was an evil influence toward the end. And God marked it. True, he was restored. Blessed be God. But, you know, he went after other gods. Dear friends, don't we need the gospel? Keeping grace, saving grace, and forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. But it's a vast subject. Just very briefly then, in all your sorrows and your fears, do look alone to that blessed one in the court of heaven, God's great high priest, your refuge. You know, dear friends, it's hiding by faith, isn't it? In the exercise to hide, you know when you're hid, when Christ is precious. That's when you know you're hid, when the Holy Ghost makes him precious. You feel a divine covering, a robe of righteousness. The banner over you is his love to you, and your sins are forgiven you. Have a sweet sense of the efficacy of his precious blood, and you worship him. And then you know, in your inmost soul, secure. Eternally secure. But let thine eyes look right on and thine eyelids straight before thee, you know, in the journey as you continue after such blessings. The comforts are withdrawn gradually. We have to live by faith, a pilgrim here, to prove further that God's love is far more deep and far more full and far more eternal than you could think of at the beginning. He shows his long-suffering patience with you all the years of your pilgrimage. And in this, the further troubles and the further trials and the conflicts of your soul, you're more deeply taught something of the cost of your redemption. Did your Saviour bleed? Did he bleed for such crimes? For such a wanderer? such a base, ungrateful monster as you, to quote from Gatsby again. Ah, my friends, I believe we learn something so tremendous. He is faithful that promised. We sang at home the other day, did Jesus once upon thee shine? Then Jesus is forever thine. You change, I change. He changes not. First sermon I preached, which was actually before the church, not in public. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And I was only pondering it recently. I had to tell the Lord I so little knew it of the truth of that. After all these years now, you see, oh, from the Lord I change not. Oh, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Isn't it the Lord's mercies, friends, we're not consumed? His compassions fail not. He changes not. Well, really, I haven't dealt with this in my own meditations, really. Let thine eyes look right on, forward in one direction. A single eye. The Lord give it to me. The Lord give it to you this year. Every storm and every billow. Oh, every temptation. The flak from hell. That cruel enemy, Satan, that destroyer. Your own weakness in the flesh. Let thine eyes look right on and plead his fullness, his word. Let thine eyes look right on, yes, and as you look into his word and plead what he has written, plead what's true, what he has sealed with his own blood. Let thine eyes look right on to remember he lives, he reigns. And to thy dying day, let thine eyes look right on by prayer and supplication, by earnest pleadings that you and I will be ready at last. That dear Jesus alone can make you ready and me ready. And only he can. So let thine eyes look right on to, yes, the mighty God of Jacob. He, my dear friends, who is heir of all things, who prayed here below as his soul anticipated that day. Of course, God anticipates differently to us. We can't always be sure in our anticipations. Ah, but my dear friends, he set his face steadfast in Jerusalem, delighting to do God's will, to lay down his life. Therefore he prayed before that great suffering. Father, I will that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, they may behold my glory. Let thine eyes look right unto him who prayed that prayer, that you might get there yourself, that it may be his good will. That you will get there. And another thing, his all-prevailing name. I want you to mention his name, we'll have to close. Sinner, there is a name in heaven. And I tell you now, the Lord had me to say it under the sweet influence of the Holy Ghost. Your heavenly Father cannot deny that name. He cannot deny that name. The apostle delighted to preach before the council, that is Peter and John. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that beautiful word of Joel, taken up by the apostles themselves, that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let thine eyes look right on to him who is as his name, Jesus, Saviour, Christ, the Anointed of God. And again, if you ask anything, yes, inquire about your sins and a real religion and his blessing and his favours and all your details in providence and your dying day. If you ask anything in my name, impossible things, for with God nothing shall be impossible, Gabriel said. In my name, I will do it. I can only preach the scripture. I don't qualify beyond the scripture bound. I want to keep closely to the truth. It was Christ that said it. If you wish to query it, then query Christ. I can only preach. But I believe a God-fearing, trembling, needy sinner here will not query Christ. You'll be glad he said it. Therefore, you can plead what Jesus said. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, may my eyes, and may your eyes look right on, and my eyelids, and your eyelids straight before you, to Jesus in the presence of God upon the throne of grace, and to ask in his name, and to wrestle like Jacob till the break of day. Let us ask thee, Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, do bless that which has been true this night, and with the Holy Ghost, help us each so to walk as we have read in this verse tonight, Lord. And help us all to truly love many prayers and to seek thy face. Now please do pardon all things spoken wrongly. Grant safe journeys home. And as we hope to retire later, Lord, do favour with sleep and a good night's rest. We plead thy precious name. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day and next Tuesday evening, and also address the prayer meeting on Monday evening. Let us close with hymn 936. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. O magnify the Lord with me exalt his name. When in distress on him I called, he to my succour came. 936.
Of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us all, both now and for evermore.
Amen.